Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. That was quite an experience, wasn't it? When he was knocked from the horse and heard the Lord call him, and he was blinded and he had to be guided by other people into the city, and he found people who took care of him, but it was must have been quite a traumatic experience. Brothers and sisters, God wants us all to experience an ever deeper conversion. There's a conversion to Christ, but then there's a conversion, a growth in conversion that we're constantly reorienting our minds, our hearts, our wills, our wishes to conform with His. All of that is a process of conversion. And in a certain sense, our entire life, if we're serious Christians, our entire life is a conversion process. Because everything pulls us left, right, and center. We get attracted by this. We think this is a good idea, and it turns out not to be. We think this is a great idea, and it utterly consumes us, and we forget about God. I mean, we are fickle in many ways, human beings. But if we decide, I am going to orient my thoughts, my words, my actions toward God, and it will probably take me all my life, and even then I probably won't complete it. But if that's my orientation, and I'm really willing to commit myself to it by His grace, not by your own willpower, but by His grace, which He always imparts, He's always calling us to deeper conversion. Don't be afraid. We're still in January. What are your New Year's resolutions? Are they really concrete? What is going to bring you closer to Christ? What is going to make you a better husband, father, wife, mother, friend, relative, co-worker, parishioner? What's going to make you better? So look at the conversion of St. Paul. See what an incredible turnaround it was for him. But know that that grace is available for you to the degree that you need it. It may get expressed differently, but God reaches out to each one of us, longing to impart to us the grace to change. Are we ready to do that? Are we willing to say yes? Or are we taking care of our own lives? Thank you very much. And then I will present my life to God, and I will tell God how wonderful I am and what all the things that I've done for Him. You can do that and still be carrying out your own will. God wants you to do good things, and oftentimes He will allow the things right in front of us that attract us to help us to do good, absolutely. But there are times when God calls us to do something that we would prefer not to do, and if we're so wedded to our own will, we can't see or hear correctly. And we end up making decisions that can lead us down the wrong path eventually. You want to be as close to God and His will as you possibly can by His grace and power. You need to set up a pattern where every day you pray the Lord's Prayer. Every day you reflect on His word. Every day you intercede for those situations that are difficult for you. Every day you ask the Lord, help me to draw closer to you today. Every day. It's not a one-time thing. Oh, yeah, I gave my life to Christ. No, it's day in and day out, because we give our life and then we try to grab it back in the course of the day. We turn to our own will and our own ways and our own whims. So the conversion of St. Paul was certainly incredible for the early church. It made a huge difference for the early church. But neither do you or I should we think of ourselves as insignificant, because we're not. We're not in God's eyes. And our deeper conversion day by day, maybe not as flamboyant as Paul's was, being knocked to the ground, But if we keep offering our lives day in and day out, gradually, you know how you change course with a ship, you change course in a plane. We're gradually changing course. And then comes the day when you really know you're doing it with Him. And there's an intimacy that begins to develop between you and God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it by wanting your will. I want to do God's will, but I want to do it my way. Repent of that. Give it up. Acts 22, verses 3 to 16 says this. Paul addressed the people in these words. I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city. At the feet of Gamaliel, I was educated strictly in our ancestral law and was zealous for God just as all of you are today. I persecuted the way, that's capital W, which was the first Christians. I persecuted this way to death, binding both men and women and delivering them to prison. Even the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify on my behalf. For from them I even received letters to the brothers and set out for Damascus to bring back to Jerusalem in chains for punishment those there as well. On that journey, as I drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from the sky suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I replied, Who are you, sir? See, what we do to others, we do to the Lord. Who are you, sir? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. My companions, he goes on to say, saw the light but did not hear the voice of the one who spoke to me. And I asked, What shall I do, sir? And the Lord answered me, Get up, go into Damascus. There you will be told about everything appointed for you to do. Since I could see nothing, because of the brightness of that light, I was led by hand by my companions, and I entered Damascus. A certain Ananias, a devout observer of the law and highly spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me. Now, here's Saul persecuting. And Ananias is told by the Lord, go to him. And so Ananias obeys. I'm sure he was frightened. Saul, my brother, regain your sight. And at that very moment, I regained my sight and saw him. And then he said, The God of our ancestors designated you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear the sound of his voice. For you will be his witness before all to what you have seen and heard. Now, why delay? Get up. Have yourselves baptized and your sins washed away, calling upon his name. So in other words, okay, God's had mercy on you. God's revealed himself. He sends me, Ananias, to tell you the truth. Now get up. Don't delay anymore. Have yourself baptized, your sins washed away, calling upon his name. In other words, let's get moving. We don't have much time. Don't spend your life trying to say, am I going to give my life to Christ? I mean, I'm fine. I go to Mass every Sunday. That's not... Yes, the Mass is essential. Don't misunderstand me. That's absolutely essential. Otherwise, you can't do anything else. But not just going through the motions of being there, but really dedicated to Christ in thought, in word, in action. Take one area, step by step, and you will be amazed as a couple of what we call strongholds get broken in your life. Maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's lust, maybe it's anger, whatever. But as a couple of those strongholds begin to weaken because you keep saying, I want to follow the Lord, that weakens those things that have hold on you. And if you ask God in the sacrament of reconciliation, break the power of this bondage in me. And really pray and really seek him. He will do it for you. We turn now to the responsorial psalm. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. And that's exactly what we want to be able to do. But it can't be empty words. You know what it's like, don't you, when a priest in the homily explains the word to us. You know the difference when somebody's telling you this is the truth and this is what you need to do. And when somebody lives it, there's a difference. And when somebody is living the gospel, which is what we're supposed to be doing, I'm not just pointing to priests, I'm pointing to all of us. When you really are living the gospel, it gets reflected in your manner. And Christ begins to shine through you. The light honestly begins to burn. And lives are touched and people are changed. Please give your life to Christ. Please. Please begin the road of conversion. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. By the way, there are two first readings you can choose from, either the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, which is what I read, or Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 1 to 22. You can read either or both of them. Frankly, read both of them. Get the whole picture of Paul. Put yourself in Paul's place. And watch what happened to Paul as he responded to grace. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." I have to say, in the privileged years I've had of doing mission work in many countries, I've seen that borne out. I've seen the blind see and the lame walk. I've witnessed it. I've seen people be free of the bondage of Satan. I've seen lives totally turned around. This is not just something that Mark talked about because it was in the time of Christ or right after the time of Christ. We've grown so cynical and so hard. And when I go to some of these countries where literally they're very poor physically, but they're very rich in the kingdom of God because they've put all their faith in Him, even in the midst of what they don't have. And so when they cry out to God, they cry out to God with great faith, but with hope. And so many of them God has touched. Right here in this country, prosperous on a certain criteria, prosperous as it is, we have many, many poor, physically poor, mentally poor, emotionally poor. We have many poor. God wants to touch and heal them in many cases. They don't even know it's possible. How are they going to know? Unless we preach the gospel, unless we bring them to faith, unless we help them enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because of the way we live. And gradually they begin to experience the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Think about this. Think seriously about this for your life and the lives of those around you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.